Hello and welcome. It's Tuesday, August 21st, 2012. My name is Debbie Quain and you're listening to Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show. Thank you so much for being here. I really, really appreciate it. I'm broadcasting live from the Metro Washington, D.C. area. It's currently raining, but still rather hot. I'm not sure what it's like where you are, but again, a really big thank you for being here. It means a lot. This show is broadcast live every other Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. And if you're thinking about becoming a wedding planner, please visit weddingsforaliving.com. That's a free resource which has several articles that will help you if you're just sort of dipping your toe in the water about this industry. If you're past the thinking about it stage, then please visit weddingbusinessguide.com. And on that site, you'll get help with starting and growing a wedding planning business of your own. Okay? To get show schedules and show replays, please visit the site that's associated with the show, confettiradio.com. And several of you are here this evening. Thanks again. I keep saying it, but it means a lot. Do I sound like a broken record? But I really do appreciate it. Even though the show is broadcast live, you can catch the replays on confettiradio.com. You can also listen to the replays on iTunes. Look for Confetti Radio. And also on Stitcher Smart Radio, which is a great program, a great app. If you have a smartphone, you can listen to the replays there. And actually, if you follow the link that's on the Confetti Live page and just use the promotion code CONFETTI, you will be automatically entered to win $100. So give that a go. I send an email out to announce that the show is live. So if you're not on the email list and you'd like to be on the email list, if you go on over to confettiradio.com and select the subscribe tab, you can just put your email address in there. If you are in the United States and you'd like to receive a text message instead of or in addition to an email when the show's about to go live, then you should be a part of the Confetti Insiders. And what that means is that you would simply text the word confetti, C-O-N like November, F like Frank, E like Edward, T-T like Tom, I like India, to the number 72727. That's a free text message. Depending on the way you're charged for your messages on your phone, standard message and data rates may apply. Okay? All right, so if you are joining me live, I see several of you are here. You can go to confettilive.com. confettilive.com, and you can watch the video broadcast there. You won't gain anything other than a visual. You can gain everything that you need to know by just listening in. And for tonight's show, we're in our third episode of our No Wedding series. And No Weddings was just a way for us to step back and talk about the basics of what's involved with the wedding. So I know a lot of you are very familiar with planning weddings. But I'm always amazed at how many people are planning weddings, you know, for a living, but don't have a full grasp of the different elements involved in a wedding. So that's what this series is about, just going through the basic stuff. And really, if you listen to the episodes and you don't really have a good grasp of weddings, if you're new to the industry, you could probably get most of the need-to-know information. By no means is it completely comprehensive. By no means is it trying to serve as a wedding planner certification course, but I think you can pick up quite a bit of information, even if I do say so myself. So tonight's topic is understanding wedding stationery. So stationery that I'm talking about, the paper items, and the first thing that usually comes to mind when you think about stationery is a wedding invitation. But before we get into the details of that, let me please say that stationery that I'm talking about is spelled S-T-A-T-I-O-N-E-R-Y. Okay? The E-R-Y part, it's a real pet peeve of mine because the other way to spell stationery, of course, is S-T-A-T-I-O-N-A-R-Y. A-R-Y. I'm great at the spelling. Math, not so much. So one means paper items and the other means to remain in one place, which is something that we as wedding planners very rarely do. So please make sure that you are using stationery with the correct spelling. Please check your website, your marketing materials, your email correspondence to make sure that when you're talking about paper items, you're using the letter E in stationery and not the A at the end, okay? I think it's really embarrassing if we are part of this industry and we've got a word, we're not using the right terminology. I think so anyway. So misspellings happen. God knows there are a few on my site. But, you know, stationery, when we're talking about paper items, E-R-Y. So please spell check and make sure you've got that right. Okay. All right. So talking about paper items, really, the marriage license is the most important piece of paper when it comes to a wedding. And really, that's what's required, because to get married, the license is what's issued usually at a state or city or county, whatever your local jurisdiction, excuse me, level that governs weddings. The license is what's required, issued a few days before the wedding, and allows two people to get married. But it's the most important part, but that's not really the part that people usually focus on or think about when they talk about stationery, right? When we're talking about stationery, we're talking about invitations, as I mentioned, the programs, all the other bits of paper that make up, what's the word I want to use? Like a suite of paper, right? S-U-I-T-E. Can you tell I'm on the spelling thing today? So that's usually when we're talking about wedding stationery, that's what I'm referring to. And it's a big deal, because it gives your clients a chance to really demonstrate who they are and give their guests an idea of what's to come, because a wedding is usually, but not always, but usually the biggest party that your clients will ever host. So you want to make sure, or you want to help them make sure that their wedding invitations reflect that. Casual wedding invitations. Formal wedding invitations, and so forth. So we're going to go over the different elements as best we can in the space of an hour. I promise I'm not going to go over an hour today. But I wanted to talk about a few other points before we get into the specifics. Let me just pull my notes up here. Okay. And for those of you on the phone lines, welcome. If you have a question, you know, just hit the number 1, and that will indicate to me on the switchboard that you have something to say, and I'll bring you on live. The number to call if you'd like to ask your question live is 626-213-5678. And of course, you can use the hashtag, but I'm not focusing on the hashtag Confetti Radio. So for those of you in the chat, if someone sees a question and I'm missing it, just type it in there for me, please. I'd really appreciate it. Kamara is saying use E if dealing with envelopes. Oh, that's the way you remember. You know, I was thinking about this. So I'm talking about stationery, E-R-Y, and stationery, A-R-Y. And I try to think, how can, you know, what's a good way to remember this? And she just says, use the E for envelopes, and then that's a great way to remember stationery. You are a genius. Love that. So that's how you can remember. Great way to remember. Okay, so talking about invitations, your clients really need to consider the size of the wedding, you know, the number of guests. Budget is important. And, of course, wedding location and their personal preference. So all of those elements play a big part in deciding the wedding invitations. You want to make sure that you encourage your clients to order the stationery well ahead of time. Invitations typically are sent about 8 weeks before the wedding date. But if your clients are sending save the date, those need to happen sooner. So you want to make sure that even though on your timeline, your professional timeline, you know that 8 weeks prior to the wedding, the invitations are going to be sent, you need more time than that to order the invitations, right? You need to allow time for the decision making, because there's such a wide and vast selection of invitations that if you have an indecisive couple, and usually it's the bride, but not always, you need to leave time for that. You know, she's got to make up her mind and decide, you know, I like that, or I prefer this one. And, you know, I'm sure she's going to have to ask at least 3 people what they think. So you've got to, you know, if you're involved soon enough, you know, allow enough time for that decision-making process to go on. You also, I'm going to state the obvious, but you must know the date, the time, location, and formality of the wedding. Because if you don't have that information, the invitation cannot be printed. All that information needs to be on there for the wedding guests. You need to also allow time for assembly. Most invitations, you know, if they're, you know, got the ribbons and the little, I was going to say the little tchotchkes, but the little bits and pieces, they do not arrive assembled. As pretty as the finished product looks, they do not arrive assembled. So you have to make sure that there's enough time for them to do that. You also need to allow time for addressing the envelopes. You can actually, a lot of times when you're ordering invitations, you can request the envelopes ahead of time so that the addressing you know, the addressing can take place. But you need to allow time for that, and don't underestimate how long that takes, because if they're being addressed by hand, you know, all needs to look a certain way and it needs to look neat. And even if you're sending it out to a calligrapher or someone else to address, you need to allow time for this person to do their job. So I keep saying it, but you don't want to rush invitations, because when you're rushing, that's when you miss the details. And when you miss the details, that's when, you know, there's a faux pas. And someone like me, who's completely anal, will notice that something is off. So allow enough time. And then you also need to allow time for RSVP secondary list if your clients are doing that. So some clients, they have more guests than the location or their budget will allow. So what they'll do is they'll invite group A, and then based on a certain number of people saying that they cannot attend, then they will send out invitations to group B, unbeknownst to group B. So if that's going on, you need to allow enough time for that to happen, okay? So again, time is, you know when invitations, you know, I'm guessing that you know as a wedding planner when invitations should be mailed out, but you also need to allow enough time prior to that for your clients to do what needs to be done and for you to meet with them and so forth. Number of invitations, I think the instant the reaction, that the thought process is, you know, I've got 150 guests, so I need to order 150 invitations. Well, that's usually not the case. You'll order one invitation per couple or per family. So you want to keep that in mind with the count for the invitations. But you also make sure when you're ordering invitations, you need to order more of certain items. Definitely order more envelopes than there are invitations. So that leaves room for error. And if you need to do that, well, if you're even doing the plan B with the guest list, you still want to have additional envelopes. You also want to have additional seating cards, and we'll talk about that in a few moments. And the seating cards are the cards that tell someone where they're sitting at the reception. Anything that requires handwriting, you want to allow additional, you want to order extra items for human error, of course. So you want to make sure, envelopes is why I say that, anything that requires, and place cards, seating cards, again, for that too. So that anything that requires handwriting, you want to leave space. You don't need an exact number. And don't forget keepsakes. A wedding, again, is a very big event, and a lot of brides want to hold on to the invitation. They want to show that years later. I don't have my parents' wedding invitation. I've seen the album, but I haven't seen the wedding invitation. How nice would it be for me to have that as a keepsake, making it all about me? But how nice would it be to be able to see that years from now? So keep that in mind. And you knowing all of this knowledge, of course, you will pass that on to your clients. So when they are ordering that, you remember, you say these things, you know, we want to make sure we have enough envelopes. We want to make sure anything that we need to address by hand, we want to have extras for that. And you can share that with them. And we want to make sure that you have some keepsakes for you and your close family members that may want to hold on to that. So remember to tell your clients that, okay? That's your job. That's why they're paying you to do this wedding planning thing. So let's go into some of the stationery choices. Again, if you're just joining, welcome. This is Confetti Radio. My name is Debbie Quain, and we're talking about understanding wedding invitations. Well, take that back. Wedding stationery with an E-R-Y on the end. And we're about to go through the items of that make up part of the invitation suite. I see some of you are posting your Facebook and all your URLs in the chat room. Please continue to do so. And if your information rolls off, just post it again. And for those just joining, if you would like to see more of the chat, just scroll all the way down and pop it out so that it's its own separate tab. If you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, the chat room is on confettilive.com, confettilive.com. Okay, so let's go through these items. I've tried to sort of do them in a logical order. And the first item is the save the date. Now, the save the date, as the name suggests, is sent out to wedding guests and includes the date and the location, and it's so that they can save the date. Is a save the date required? No, it is not. Despite their popularity, it's not required in many circumstances. So a lot of save the dates that I've seen really aren't necessary. But if your clients want that, you know, let them have at it. Typically, a save the date is sent 5 to 7 months before and the wedding. And the idea is it's usually used for someone if your clients are having a destination wedding. And the reasoning is that the guests are given enough time to prepare for travel, to book travel. It's also ideal if your clients are getting married locally, but they're getting married on a holiday weekend, for example, or, you know, a major holiday weekend, like Labor Day weekend coming up. So if someone's getting married, Labor Day is a big holiday here in the United States. That's that event should probably, it would be a good idea to send out a save the date so people can plan accordingly for that. Again, not required. A lot of times, the save the date doesn't even have to be paper. Magnets, all different kind of postcards, so different things. You can be very creative, but again, not required. The next thing that comes to mind after the save the date is the invitation itself, and that's really the main piece. And is that required? Absolutely, an invitation is required for a wedding, whether it's, even if it's just a very casual event. I believe a wedding should have an invitation. And the style of the invitation would normally follow the style of the wedding. So whether it's ultra formal or completely casual, the invitation usually goes along with that. And the invitation should include the date, the time, the location, and the style of that invitation should speak volumes as to the style of that wedding. You can still include notes like black tie, so guests know how formal it is. But usually the style of the invitation and the time of the wedding invitation indicates how formal the wedding is, usually, but not always. Not always. Okay, next item on the list is the inner envelope. So I know you've seen this. You've seen the wedding invitation, the main envelope, and then when you open it, there's yet another envelope, and the invitation is sitting inside of that. A lot of invitations come with that. In some setups, it's optional. Is an inner envelope required? No, it is not. Usually, an inner envelope is used for a formal wedding. And the history behind this inner envelope was to keep the invitation clean. Back in the day when there wasn't the good old, you know, U.S. Postal Service or whatever the postal service is where you're located, if the roads weren't surfaced or finished, then, you know, there'd be dust and all kinds of things, you know. By the time the envelope arrived to the recipient, the condition wasn't always great. So the outside envelope wouldn't look wonderful. But then once they opened that envelope, there'd be an inner envelope. So then it was much more presentable. Today, I've got a tap. You know, you guys, I always explain this on the video in case you're wondering, what is this woman doing? The lights. I have the lights so that you can see my dark skin, but I'm sweating like crazy. Okay, so the another advantage of using the inner envelope, I said it's not required, but it allows your clients to be a little more casual, meaning like, if they're inviting me and a guest and they may not want to put that on the outside envelope, the inner envelope would be a good place to do that. So it would be addressed to me, Debbie Quain, and have my address. And then when I'd open the envelope, I'd see a smaller envelope, which actually had the inner envelope, which has the invitation, and it would say, you know, Debbie and friend. So it just allows you to do something that might look awkward on an outside envelope. So inner envelope not required, but usually for formal weddings, there is an inner envelope. Next item on the list is the RSVP card. RSVP standing for Respondez s'il vous plaît, for those of you that speak French. I know my accent was terrible there. And really what it does is it gives the person who's received the invitation the chance to respond. Is an RSVP card required? No, it's not. Technically, it's not. Because traditionally, here's a bit of information that you may already know, but I'm going to share it anyway. Traditionally, when someone sent you an invitation, what you would do was that you would get your own stationery and you would handwrite a note, a letter explaining whether replying, saying you would attend or you would not attend. So there wouldn't be any sort of thing that you check off. You would write the letter from scratch. Now, if you're expecting that to happen in 2012, good luck with that. So this is where the RSVP card comes in, or the response card. And what it does, it helps ensure that your guest responds. Still doesn't always happen. So that's what, usually there's a space, and that person gets to say yes, will attend or will not attend. And there's usually a line for this person to include their name. guests don't always remember to do that. And I'm guilty of that. Can you imagine? Wedding planner, guilty of that. So what you can do, what your clients can do, is to just pencil a number on the back of the RSVP card. So they'd know that the RSV, the card, the invitation sent to Debbie was maybe was number 7. So just a light pencil mark on the back so that when that RSVP card is returned, if I've forgotten to include my name, they can just slip over the back and see the number and say, oh, okay, that's Debbie responding. Silly girl didn't put her name on it. So RSVP card, again, technically not required, but it's the best way to get a response. Otherwise, you know, you'll sort of be wondering and hoping and, you know, waiting for those letters to trickle in. Yeah, like I said, probably not going to happen. All right. Next item on the list is the ceremony card. Ceremony card/reception card. And what this does is if the wedding is happening at a separate location from the reception, then, you know, the information for the wedding will be on the invitation, and then the reception invitation would be on a separate card. Usually, and this is not required, if all of the guests are being invited to both events, both ceremony and reception, it isn't required. All that needs to happen is that the reception information is just printed on the invitation itself, just a little lower down. So, you know, depending on who's consulting for stationery, they may encourage you to do so. Just remember, if all the guests are invited to both ceremony and reception, and perhaps your clients are in budget mode, they don't have to use a separate card. Here's where a reception card or a ceremony card is a good thing. Let's say your clients are getting married and they want to have a very intimate ceremony with just a few people, just maybe their close family members and friends. Then what they could do is create a reception card and use the reception card and send that to the masses. And then the ceremony card would go to the select few who are invited to the ceremony. The reverse is also true. If folks are inviting you to the ceremony, if they want to invite people to the ceremony but not the reception, then they would send out the ceremony card and there would be no information about the reception. Okay? I got one of those once. Can I tell you, I felt very slighted that I wasn't invited to the reception. And I mean, granted, they weren't very close, but I was just so excited that I was going to a wedding. I assumed I was going to the reception too, but I really was just invited to the ceremony. So, you know, you can do that. If you're sending the reception card, by the way, so if someone's being invited to the reception but not the ceremony, please make it clear as possible as you can that it really is just the reception, because a lot of times when people see it, I mean, usually it follows the same guidelines, has the same look as a traditional wedding invitation, but if it's not and someone thinks they're going to a ceremony, that can be a bit of a bummer. Okay? All right, so that's the ceremony card and the reception card. Whizzing right through here, let me just double check the switchboard. No questions. Okay, great. And you guys are doing okay in the chat, right? Making friends. Good. All right. Next item that I want to talk about is the pew card. I've been to one wedding where I saw a pew card, and it wasn't in this country. And what the pew card does is it's used so that it lets them know they have a reserved seat, and usually it's seats up front. So the way this works is that the pew card has a line, and the line indicates the pew is where you would write in the pew number. Or it will say within the ribbon. And the idea is that the reserved pews up front in the church, usually, or the house of worship, or wherever the ceremony is, those are roped off on the aisle, on the main aisle side, and by ribbon. So if you have this card, if you have one of these prize cards, it means that you have been allowed, or a seat has been reserved for you in that area. So this is mailed to family members specifically. Everybody doesn't get a pew card unless you want everybody sitting in the reserved seats. So when these guests arrive, they hand this pew card to the usher, and the usher then looks at the card, and if it's got the pew number, then the usher escorts them to that pew. If it says within the ribbon, then the usher just escorts them to one of the pews that are sort of ribboned off. And that's how that works. So to have a pew card, there needs to be someone in place to escort guests to the seat, i.e. an usher. If you have a pew card and nobody really to escort them, it sort of defeats the purpose. Usually this is used for a very big wedding, maybe big meaning a lot of people, or a formal wedding, or even if it is a huge venue. And, you know, most folks want to be up close to see where all the action is during the ceremony. So you want to make sure those that are nearest and dearest to your clients get a good seat. So that's what a pew card is for. Again, not required, but based on what I just explained, you know what the situation is when you would want to use that. Let's talk about tissue. As I say, I say tissue, but in America say tissue. So tissue, is the tissue paper that is part of invitations, and I'm sure that you've seen that. And it's not required, but it is a very elegant touch. The history behind it is when invitations were created many, many years ago, the ink would smudge. So the tissue prevented the smudge from going onto the actual, prevent leaving the black mark. So that's what the tissue was for. And of course, as printing has evolved, the ink is usually dried by the time you get the invitations. At least I hope so. So that's what tissue is used for. If you use tissue now, again, it's just more for an elegant touch. Usually it doesn't cost more, at least I don't believe so, but it's usually part of an ensemble if it's part of there. But I mean, again, it's not required, but if your clients want that, it really doesn't serve much of a practical purpose now, at least not in 2012, as far as I know. Next item with regard to stationery is the direction card or a map. This is very helpful for out-of-town guests. And just pretty much as it's a map, and it's drawn not always to scale, but just sort of gives them some indication of where the ceremony site is, where the reception site is. Usually has directions, may have a landmark or two on there. Very helpful again for out of town guests. Could you photocopy something or print something and insert with the invitation? Absolutely, you could. If it's not done well, if it's a sloppy looking photocopy, it really takes away from the invitation. If you have a very nice invitation and then something that's been copied, photocopied 100 times, and you can see the lines, and it just doesn't look great. So remember, we're into the details. Being wedding planners, we're in the detail business. So you want to make sure that your direction card, your map, ties in. It doesn't have to match the invitation. But let's say you've got, the ecru or the white or whatever, try to follow along with that. I actually found a couple of people on Fiverr, Fiverr.com, which is a great site if you're not familiar with it already, where you can get someone to do, I was going to say just about anything, but a lot of different things for $5. And there was one person who was actually creating the invitation, the map. So what she would do was, you would give her the directions or the specifics of what you wanted on this map. And it was absolutely beautiful. So what she was creating was a master, which was a digital file. And then you can then download that, take it to your printer or make copies or whatever. But it looked absolutely beautiful. And again, ties in. It just ties in well when someone opens an invitation and then they see this map that sort of follows the style. Again, the invitation company can do this for you. If you think that's not something that you want to go with that route, because again, it's usually custom, because you've got specifics that are on there. You can do this outside. Just make sure it ties in. No photocopies with lines and everything over there. That just doesn't look great. Okay. The program. The program is the next item, and these are very popular. Is a wedding program required? It really isn't, but it's a great way and allow wedding guests to follow along with the ceremony. It's also a great item to honor the participants in a wedding. So, it usually lists the bridal party, and oftentimes we'll say the association of the bridal party, bridesmaid, youngest sister of bride, or best man, college buddy of groom. I mean, it may not say that, but it usually has the person's name and sometimes their association with the couple. So it's a really great way to honor participants. And people usually want a program to hold on to. Come to think of it, people usually want a program for just about any event like that. I mean, I've been to funerals where people just, let me not go there. But yeah, so a program usually people want to hold on to. again, it should tie in with the style of the invitation, but not necessarily. More so with the style of the wedding, which is usually what the invitation should do anyway. So just so long as there's a consistent, again, if it's casual wedding, casual invitations, then you have ultra formal programs. That's kind of off. It's also a program is also a really great way to explain traditions. If something is happening at the wedding that you know that a lot of guests may, wow, I'm sorry, I'm sweating crazy today. The lights are getting to me. If you know that there's a tradition that there are certain rites or rituals going on in the ceremony, especially, for example, if it's an interfaith wedding and there are things that maybe you know that a lot of guests may not understand or know why they're happening, this is a great note to make in the program without going on and on and on. The key with the program is brevity. You know, you want to keep it to the point and so that it's clear. So a program is a great thing to do. A program is also a great way to thank and remember loved ones. So if someone is very near and dear to your couple, but they cannot be there, the program is a great place to mention that. And if someone's been extremely helpful or, you know, they just want to acknowledge their thanks to that person, the program is a great way to do that. Just be careful, though, when you start acknowledging people that you're not hurting feelings, because oftentimes you'll remember someone and forget someone else and that person feels slighted. So you don't have to do all those things on a program, but those are some of the things that a program is good for. Let's talk about the seating card or the escort card. These are the cards that you see when you go to a wedding reception, and they're usually arranged alphabetically with the guest by guest name. And what the escort card or the seating card does is it tells the person, it indicates the assigned table where that person is sitting. Is a seating card required? If there are more than 20 guests at that wedding reception, yeah, you need a seating card. I have a lot of clients that fight the seating card thing. They say they don't want to assign seats to everybody, or they don't want to go through the process of assigning seats. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. It can be very confusing when people don't know where they should go. So a seating card, again, just assigns, it has a table number or the table name, however the table has been identified. It doesn't necessarily assign where that person is sitting at the table. That's what a place card is, and I'll talk about that in a minute. So this is what I'm talking about, a seating card, sometimes called an escort card. And the history, you know, I've got to go there. The history behind the escort card is many, many years ago, a gentleman would come to a party and he would look for an escort card, and the escort card would then say the name of the woman that he would be responsible for escorting that night, for being the most gracious host of that night for that woman. So that, for that person, and that was his escort for the night. So that's the terminal. That's where the name escort card comes from. Place card, sometimes you'll hear folks say place card, and that's something different. The place card is used for assigned seats at the table. So the seating card / escort card will say table number, you know, Debbie Quain, table number 3. And I'll look for a table, the sign for that number, the table that has number 3, and that's where I would sit. Once I get there, if I'm supposed to sit at a particular place, then the place card will have my name. If I can sit anywhere at that table, there will be no place card. So that's the difference. A place card is not required unless it's a very formal meal and your clients have planned down to the T who sits where. Is it whom sits where? No, who sits where at the table, okay? If there are more than 20 guests, definitely want the seating / escort card. Place card only if you are signing seats at the specific table. And keeping saying with the table thing, a table sign is required if you've got seating cards, because that's the only way people can identify where to go. How can you have table 3 if table 3 isn't clearly identified? And a table sign is a required item of stationery for that reason. It ties in with the seating and the escort card. Remember, please, that the table signs need to be visible. I've seen a lot of table signs where they're sort of like tents, just folded, and they're low down on the table. If everything is sort of low, like there isn't a whole lot going on the table, that's easy to see. But the idea is that someone should be able to look within reason across the room and see where which table they're going to. You a lot of clients will place a map with the escort cards. Sorry, my earpiece is falling out. And the map will say where the table is. You as a wedding planner and your staff really should be pointing that out to guests as they arrive and helping them find their escort card and saying, oh, okay, oh, Cousin Janet, okay, you're at table number 7. Table number 7 is right over there, left of the stage, something like that. So that's something that you and your staff should actively be doing at a wedding reception to get everybody seated. And going back to escort cards for a moment, there are so many different ways and so many different displays, and this is a great way to display your creativity. As to how I've seen them hanging from ribbons on tree branches, on standing up on an easel, in pockets of ribbon. There are so many ways. Just remember that, you know, creativity is one thing, but, you know, you want to be practical, and the idea is to get everybody seated as quickly as possible, because otherwise you'll have a bottleneck and a whole bunch of people sort of lined up. I hate to see lines at any event, but especially at a wedding. I hate to see lines where people lining up for food. I hate to see people lining up to get their table. So try to eliminate that as best you can. Okay. Coming down to the end, guys. The next item, sticking with the reception, is a menu card. And just as the name suggests, it indicates what's to come. It's the menu, the items for the wedding menu, whatever the meal may be. Usually includes the couple's name and the wedding date. If there's a symbol or monogram or something for the wedding, that's on there too. Is a menu card required? No, it's not. But like the program, it's a very nice keepsake. If you're a lot of weddings, you'll see that have menu cards. There's a menu card at each place. In fact, sometimes the menu card is the place card, that indicates where that person is sitting and has their name on. That's a lot more, you know, la-di-da. That's a nicer touch, a lot more detailed to do. But, one way to use to display a menu is just to frame one for each table, or frame a couple, maybe, you know, two, one for each, so that guests can see that no matter where they're sitting at the table, either in a photo frame or on a pretty small easel, instead of one per place. And it can still be commemorative of the couple and should still follow along with the design. Of course, if you only have a couple of menus or one menu per table, then there's always the chance that people will, I'm not going to say fight, but have you ever seen people go crazy for the centerpiece after a wedding? I mean, if the menus are very pretty, that could also happen. So you can do it per place setting, or one or a couple per table for the menu card. Again, not required, but it is a very nice keepsake. Here's an item that I believe is absolutely required for every wedding, and that is the thank you card. Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you card is the way that your clients say thank you to guests for their gift. Don't let them fall on this. Don't let them slip back into this. Don't people ask, you know, is email okay? That's not the way to go with a thank you card. I'm sorry, maybe I'm a stickler. So encourage your clients, almost force them if you can. If they ask you, and a thank you card is a requirement, I believe. It doesn't have to match the wedding stationery. It really doesn't. A simple off-white, a simple white thank you card, if that's what they want to go with, is totally acceptable. A nice way to personalize plain stationery in the form of a thank you card is to get an embosser. An embosser is just the item that presses into paper and leaves sort of like a raised or an indented seal of some sort. So maybe they can get an embosser with their monogram, their names together, or their wedding logo or something like that. And then, of course, every and anything on paper, they can use that embosser later on. As a wedding planner, now that I think about it, an embosser might be a nice gift that you might want to give to your clients. It's not really that expensive, but it's something that you can order. And just a few, you know, once if they've got a logo, you can do that for them. Or if they have a monogram, I think that would be a really nice touch. So that's just a thought. You don't have to do that. But an embosser is something they can use, throughout their married life. To identify them, whether they're sending holiday cards or they're sending just any basic letter. And once you emboss it, it changes a plain piece of paper into something very personal. And it really isn't that expensive. It's just enough. You just need to leave enough time for it to arrive when you need it. Okay? All right, the last piece of stationery that I'm going to talk about today is an activity schedule. And the reason I left it for the end is because it usually only applies for destination weddings or for a wedding weekend. It's not required. But what it does is, as the name suggests, it just lets folks know what's going on. So, you know, if for destination wedding, if you've got the rehearsal dinner and the activities during the day or things to do, anything associated with that event, which is usually the wedding, whatever's going on is part of this activity schedule. Again, like the wedding, the maps, the inserts for the maps or the directions, it should follow along with the style of the invitations, the style of the wedding. Otherwise, it just looks like an afterthought. Even if this activity schedule is not going in with the invitations, maybe it's being given to guests as part of their welcome basket. The last destination wedding that I planned, we ordered the invitations, but the wet activity schedule I created and brought that along with me when we got to the wedding. It was in the Caribbean and handed that out. It was really cute. I think I'll have to share that when I do the video that goes with this. So an activity schedule, again, not required, but is a really nice touch for destination wedding. Or if your couple is getting married locally and it's a wedding weekend, meaning there are a lot of different things going on there, you can include that too. So that, I think, is a really, really nice touch. Okay? And those are really the stationary items that are pretty much that your clients can use if they'd like to. And I think that you just need to be familiar enough. And it's really not a whole lot, but it can add up very, very quickly if they get each and every bit and piece. And it's not required. It really isn't. The invitation is a must. The thank you card is definitely a must. And the seating cards, the escort card, I believe, is a must if there are more than 20 guests. Those are the items that I think really should be in place. If you are a wedding planner, wedding invitations is a really great way to add to your bottom line. For my business, wedding invitations was a substantial portion of the money that came in each month, because even if brides did not hire me to plan their wedding, I made sure that they knew that I sold invitations because they had to get them somewhere. And if you like to offer invitations to your clients, in a couple of weeks, I don't know if it's the next show or the one after, someone from Carlson Craft will be joining us for an upcoming episode, and we'll be going over how to get started, how to market your invitations, and things like that. So if you are not on the Confetti Radio email list, please sign up on confettiradio.com, and you'll know when that episode is happening. And, of course, you can always sign up for the text service. Oh, my gosh, I'm fanning like a fool. It's really hot. Just text the word confetti to 72727, and you'll get a text when that show is about to get going. I promise I won't be sending you a whole bunch of texts and all. It's very rare. It's really just to let you know about an upcoming show, because I know we're all very busy. A lot of times email is just not working for a lot of us. Don't get to check email. But I know for sure most of us are checking our mobile phone. In fact, we won't even go into another room unless we've got our mobile phone in hand. Okay? Let's see. Are there any questions? Kiki Brothers. Hi there. Good to see you. How much time can pass before it's too late to send thank you cards? That's a good question. I would give it maybe 6 weeks. No more than that. It really shouldn't take six. 6 weeks would be my top, because if they're going away, your clients are going away on honeymoon and coming back, just need to get it done. The longer they stay away, the longer they keep from sending out the thank you cards, the less likely that it's going to happen. You know how it is, right? Where you know you're supposed to do something, and the longer time goes by, like if you have to return a call or something and you know you need to do that, and the more time goes by, you're thinking, oh my gosh, it's too late. It's too late. This is embarrassing. I can't send it now. Why would I send it now? That kind of thing. So it's important, I think, you know, the sooner the better. The sooner the better. And as wedding gifts come in, you know, a lot of gifts arrive before the wedding date. You know, your clients can start writing thank you notes then. Try to encourage them to do that then, because it's a lot less hassle than having to sit down and do them one after the other. But I'm real big on the thank you cards. Ask my daughter about that. Whenever she gets a gift, I'm telling her, you know, did you write a note? Did you write a note? And I know she's rolling her eyes, but I think, I was going to say in this day and age, which makes me sound extremely old, but I think with email and computers that we forget the basics of common courtesy. And if someone's taken the time to send you a gift, I believe it doesn't take much to just write a note and stick it in the mail and put on a stamp, if for nothing else to keep the U.S. Postal Service in business. But yeah, it's a really big deal, and I think we should sort of encourage our clients to do that, even if it's casual, even if it's just very small, even if it's a small wedding, even more so. I mean, what's the excuse? There are less thank you cards to send, right? Okay, and oh, one other thing I wanted to mention about invitations. I didn't go into the etiquette of invitations, but we did talk about it a few shows ago. You know, traditionally, things like no children allowed or adult-only reception aren't supposed to go on a wedding invitation. But if that's what your clients want to do, by all means, you know, that's up to them. But they may well ask you, you know, how do I do that? What's usually the right way to do things? And certain people, some guests will be sticklers and, you know, may look at the invitations in shock and horror. Oh my gosh, she actually meant that, you know, they actually said no children allowed at the wedding reception or something like that. But it really comes down to your clients, what they want, the style that they want to reflect, and who they are as a couple. Remember, this is their wedding, so let them have it their way. Okay? All right. I think that wraps it up for this evening. I just wanted to get the basics out. I know many of us are pretty familiar with what we just talked about, but it doesn't hurt to go through a refresher course. And something that you can do very easily, the steps that I just went through, I sort of went through the items of the stationery items, you can use that as a basis for an article on your website, or you can take a little bit of information and send that out as a tweet or as a status update on Facebook. So, you know, you might put a comment or an article or a blog post about, you know, pew cards. Do you know what a pew card is? Well, a pew card is a way that you can let your special family members make sure that they have a reserved seat at the ceremony, and just explain that. That doesn't take much time. And what it does, it positions you as an expert. You can use it in your welcome kit or your idea kit for your brides. You can go through some of the invitations, ins and outs, and the invitation knowledge there. So take the information that you're getting in the basic stuff that we're going through now with no weddings and use that when you're talking to your clients and potential clients. It's a really great way to set yourself up, to set yourself apart as an expert. Okay? All right. Can you see on the video broadcast? I'm just melting here. This is crazy. I can feel the humidity is coming back, and I'm just melting right about now. So let me get off of this camera before I just melt into nothingness. Our next show happens on Tuesday, September 4th, which is right after Labor Day, if you're celebrating that here in the U.S. And beginning on that date, we will actually go to a weekly show through November, okay? So I do know we're having a show on September 4th. I'm just not quite sure if we'll have the person from Carlson Craft or if we'll be doing something else. But please, again, sign up on confettiradio.com. Under subscribe, or text the word confetti to 72727. Okay? All right. I want to thank you so much for joining me. Please, I hope to see you in 2 weeks. Enjoy the holiday. My name is Debbie Quain. Please join me for our next live broadcast on Tuesday, September 4th. And remember, you can listen to the replay, download the show on confettiradio.com. on iTunes, and on Stitcher Smart Radio, okay? Wishing you so much love and success. Have a great evening.